Hello, everybody, to the next session of our SESAC podcast. And this one is on an elbow topic. And it's all about LUCL repair. And we have a study here which we want to talk about. And this study is entitled Arthroscopic Evaluation of LUCL Stability After Selective Release and Repair of the Lateral Collateral Ulnar Ligament. And with me today is the first author of the study, Alfonso Vaquero Picado. And he's from Spain, from the Hospital Universitario La Paz in Madrid. And my SESAC expert for this very specific topic today is Roger van Riet from the AZ Monica Hospital in Antwerp in Belgium. So I'm happy to hear with you guys. Many thanks that you had the time to come to our SESAC podcast. And well, the first question would be to Alfonso. Alfonso, you did this study on cadaveric specimen and you wanted to test whether arthroscopic LUCL repair is feasible. And can you give our listeners some more details on this? Why did you do this and how exactly did you do it?
Hi, so thank you for the invitation to the podcast. So, well, why we do it? We try to demonstrate that LUCL repair can be done arthroscopically because there are some papers in the literature that there are some patients, that, especially sportsmen or with high demand patients, that can improve its recovery with arthroscopic repair or with LUCL repair. Some papers have been published with open repair and we wanted to check it if it is possible to do it arthroscopically. And we want to do to study stability of the elbow and we wanted to check it arthroscopically as well. To do it, we perform a cadaver study with 10 elbows, with 10 specimens. And we perform, firstly, we do an open dissection through the cohort interval. We identify the LUCL and mark it with an outside-in PDS suture from its distal insertion to the proximal origin. We mark the proximal origin with a key wire as well. After that, we perform the elbow arthroscopy through the standard portals. And we use especially the posterior lateral portal to check the radiocapitellar joint, the posterior aspect of the radiocapitellar joint. We use four tests for to check in the stability of the elbow. First, we do the traction test. Then we perform a pivot sieve. We perform the drive-through and the posterior drawer test. After the checking the stability of the native elbow, we perform an open release of the LUCL and we check the stability of the elbow again through the scope. And after that, we identify the LUCL mark and the LUCL origin and we perform the LUCL repair with two double suture anchors arthroscopically, and we check the stability after that. What we obtain is that the posterior drawer test was increased at least 25% of the articular surface when the LUCL was released, and it normalized to its normal value, to its initial value, after the repair. On the traction test, we saw an increase of 60% after release, and after the repair, the increase was only 10%. The pivot shift increased up to a mean value of 35% of the articular surface after release, and after repair, it decreases until 12.5% of the articular surface. And the drive-through was not present in the native elbows and was present in 20% of the specimens after release and disappeared after repair. So we conclude that the footprint and the trajectory of the LUCL can be identified and defined arthroscopically As we have seen in many studies, we can conclude that the selective release of the LUCL increase the all arthroscopic control test of posterolateral instability, and the arthroscopic guide LUCL repair with a high resistance suture to its footprint is feasible and can be done and restores the elbow stability. So this is more or less the few points of the study.
So Roger, 10 cadaver specimen arthroscopic LUCL repair. What do you think about that, and how to test, especially the question of how stability was tested in those specimen?
Well, stability was tested. I agree with you guys. So we tested stability in a clinical way, and the tests that you described are the tests that we use in the clinic as well before we decide to do surgery, yes or no. There might have been a few more specific tests or more sensitive tests you could have done, like the there's a rod test that's described by Andy Linick last year. Maybe before you start your study, Denise Eigendahl has been working on this, on the sensitivity and on the reproducibility of that test, which means that you go with your with your trocar, blunt trocar, you go into the soft spot, push it into the ulnohumeral joint from the soft spot, so from the posterior part of the joint, and then you see how far it opens when you push your rod into it, and you can actually objectify that quite nicely, because you can work into almost millimeters, you know, a millimeter further, millimeter further, millimeter further. That might have increased the sensibility or sensitivity of your paper quite a bit, because the ones that you've shown were first of all quite subjective, and secondly they're quite crude. So 25% more, 25%, you know, it's very difficult to really objectify that.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be very profuse with the details, but we use a proof, a marked proof, to measure how many millimeters the displacement had the radial head. When we tried to do the posterior drawer test, we check it, and we said it was 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters, 4 millimeters, and we compare it with a native elbow with a native elbow. We did more or less the same with the posterior with the pivot sieve and the traction test. The traction test was measured with a proof as well, and well. We have the data and on the tables, but it's difficult to comment the specific data with in a podcast. So, but we check it.
No, and I appreciate it's not about 1 or 2 millimeters. You know, a study like this is the first one in a very progressive field. You know, arthroscopic LCL. I prefer to call it LCL repair, because LCL is the complex, and you don't only repair the LUCL, you repair the complex. So I prefer LCL, but it's very progressive, and your study is the first to show that we can actually do it. You know, there's some clinical studies, mainly about the technique, not necessarily about the outcome, and there are a few studies about the outcome as well. But these are, you know, now in the lab you proved, okay, we're not only depending on the patient's subjective measurements, but we now have objective values to say, well, we can actually do this and repair it close to normal. Not necessarily completely normal, but we need to give biology and healing a little bit of chance as well, right? So that was the first study. So I think it's a very, at least for my practice, this is a very important study, because I've been doing this for a few years without, you know, knowing whether I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing the right thing because the patients loved it. But now we have some data behind it, biomechanical data behind it, which for me is very important. So I really love your study. I don't want to be too critical because this proves that we're on the right track. And like in the shoulder, we're way behind the shoulder, right? When I was a fellow in 15 years ago, it was just a transition between arthroscopic rotator cuff and open rotator cuff, and people said they were crazy because you don't feel the tension on the cuff, you don't feel this, it's a big incision, and the delta is going to the arthroscopic guy said the delta is going to die if you do it open. And now our registrars, they probably haven't seen an open rotator cuff repair, so maybe in 20 years, our registrars will not see an open LCL repair. And this study is definitely at the basis of it. So I'm very grateful of your study, but we're here not only to give you credit and to compliment you, but also to give you a little bit of criticism, because we can always improve. And one of the biggest criticisms I have is, I have a few, but one of the things that we need to talk about is you started with athletes and you started with the healing of it, and that maybe arthroscopic healing might be faster than open healing. And we don't know this. So we really don't know this. And an LCL repair, as you know, you can do this through 1 centimeter incision. It's not a big incision. You just go in, you fix it, and it's fine. So why do you think in your mind, and in maybe the co-authors' minds, why do you think arthroscopy would heal faster?
I don't think that arthroscopically it will faster, but probably the recovery will be better for the patient, postoperative period. The idea of this study was if you are doing a radial head fracture, for example, arthroscopically, and you have an LUCL completely torn or completely detached, can you do it arthroscopically properly? The idea. We wanted to check it if it is possible in order to not to open the elbow if you are doing a coronary fracture or a radial head fracture arthroscopically. Well, we can do it everything arthroscopically without open.
Okay, interesting. And now you've done this study, you think an isolated LCL tear in, for example, an athlete would be a good indication for an arthroscopic repair?
If you have an isolated LUCL in a high demand patient, probably I'll do it. I think that high demand patients, especially in athletes, they need to be recovered as fast as possible, and they have to have the better results, the best results. So, can you let the LUCL to heal along with a blast in 1 week and start recovering? I think it's for the surgeon, is better to attach again the LUCL and keep calm while it will heal. I'm not nervous about it.
No, I agree with that. So, but if you say, okay, we choose to do surgery, do you now prefer in an isolated LCL? Because I also agree with the additional, I think it's great to do arthroscopic fracture repairs. And then if you see the LCL, you might as well fix it arthroscopically, right? But if you have an isolated LCL rupture and you think, okay, this is a high demand patient, or in this patient, I don't trust it, it's too unstable, or this is an athlete. Do you now think it's better to do it arthroscopic than to do it open? Or do you think open and arthroscopic, just the anatomical repair, do you think you can achieve the same anatomical repair arthroscopic as open? Maybe that's a better question.
I think probably the anatomic repair will be the same. Arthroscopy is just a technique. So if you are confident, probably the postoperative period will be better, but as you have said, an isolated LCL repair with an open approach is only two centimeters incision. So, it depends if you are confident or not. If you are going to do only the LUCL, or you want to check the whole joint, would you want to check the medial ligament, or the you have any loose body or whatever, if you have many injuries, it becomes harder. I think it's probably it will heal in the same time, but the postoperative recovery will be better.
One question, Alfonso, or maybe to both of you. In your hands, Alfonso, you did this on cadaveric specimen, right? So what was from your experience, the biggest difficulty in doing this procedure arthroscopically?
Well, I think the most difficult problem was to identify the LUCL footprint in the arthroscope. Because once you have the footprint to put the anchor and to recover the sutures, they are not very difficult to do it. Okay, because you as the technique that has been described by Roger last year, well, it's not difficult to do the to recover the sutures over the portals and do it. If you are confident with arthroscopy, you are doing shoulder arthroscopy or whatever, you have a lot of practice, it is not difficult at all. Maybe to put the anchor in the proper site.
Would you agree with this, Roger?
Yes and no. I've no experience in cadavers, but I've experience in people. And if you get them early, then it's very easy to see where it ripped off. So in a cadaver, obviously, you had a nice clean cut. Everything looks the same. I can understand why it would be difficult to find the footprint, but in a real patient that just had a dislocation, you go in and you sort of see the bleeding bed on the lateral side of the bone. And I think Buddy Savoy was the first to talk about this and the first to be brave enough to do it arthroscopically. And he has some excellent videos where he shows where the footprint is. And it's actually not that difficult in a real acute person. In the technique that we use, we use an anchor in acute, and the technique that we use in chronic patients, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's a little bit less important because we do an imbrication. So really, theoretically, you can start in the middle and shrink it a little bit with your sutures, and we want to be close to the insertion and origin, so we get as much tissue as possible, but we don't have to be anatomic. In a repair, you have to be anatomic, so you have to be quite, you know, like you said, quite confident, and you need a little bit of experience. And Paolo Arrigoni talked about using a 70 degree scope. I don't think that's extra helpful, but in his practice, it really works. So 70 degrees, you can look around the corner, and then you can fix it if you see it better. But for me, that part, the part that you described, luckily, because that helps your study, I think, is quite easy in an acute patient.
Yeah, probably in the acute patient, if you have the ligament completely detached, it is easier to see the footprint. Well, in the posterolateral corner.
Roger, you have spoken before that of arthroscopic repairs of shoulders, that the open rotator cuff guys were saying, well, arthroscopy impossible, and you can't do it now. Everybody's doing arthroscopic rotator cuff repairs. And if you project this on the LUCL repair, what do you think is going to happen with this technique or the option to do it arthroscopically in future? Will people do it, or is it just a niche? Nobody really is going to do arthroscopically. What do you think?
No, I think I'm convinced people are going to do it, and especially for the reasons that Alfonso described. If you have an intra-articular problem, and I found that when we do arthroscopy for a simple dislocation, where we think this is quite benign, there's nothing else going on, but you have some people with a loose body, for example, you go in and the damage is quite severe. So you see much more damage than you actually see from your normal x-rays. That's one thing. So maybe we need to, if it becomes simpler and if the technique becomes, you know, less complicated and less complications, then I think people are going to do this more. And, I started the same as Alfonso described. So if there was an intra-articular fracture or an intra-articular problem, we would go in because we think arthroscopy is better for these problems, for example, coronoid fractures or loose body or an osteochondral fragment. We would go in, see that the LCL was ruptured, and we'd fix the LCL. And now I feel confident enough to go in and fix isolated LCLs, even though open is easy, 5 minutes. But there are some advantages to the arthroscopic technique, because you wash out the joint, sometimes you find unexpected damage, and especially in an athlete, you don't want to go back 6 months later and say, oh yeah, sorry, we forgot this loose body there. So you basically have a 360 view of the elbow and a 360 treatment of the elbow, and the LCL repair is almost extra. And like Alfonso described, it's not difficult to do, and you can return the patient to nearly full or full stability immediately. And so I think we're going to head towards more arthroscopic techniques. Maybe we'll head back. My son was skiing a couple of weeks ago and had a distal clavicle fracture. Was treated with by Olivier Verboort, by my colleague and friend, and with an incision to do a suture technique. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, you would take an hour and a half to fix it arthroscopically, and maybe some other people still do and prefer to do it arthroscopic just to be arthroscopic. I think the pendulum will slide, you know. So, for example, MCL, I'm not a big believer of the medial collateral ligament fixation arthroscopically because the nerve is there. So you have to make an incision anyway to protect the nerve, or at least know where it is. And so I wouldn't go, unless someone like Alfonso shows me that it's easy to do and it's safe to do. But otherwise, I wouldn't go on the medial side at the moment.
And I have a question to both of you. Maybe Alfonso, you can answer first. From your technical experience, can you give our listeners any tips and tricks? How you would, what steps would you do in this arthroscopic technique?
Well, as Roger has said before, it is not the same in the cadaver than in real life. But well, probably in the real life, the main problem is to the breathing and to evacuate the hematoma and to clean off the joint. Even if in not acute cases in elbow arthroscopy, the main problem is to debride and to clean, for me at least. I think the key here is to achieve a good posterolateral portal, to have a good visualization. If you have a good visualization of the LCL, the LUCL, the ligament trajectory is not difficult to check it, for example, to pass the sutures and to reproduce the trajectory to pass the sutures is not difficult at all. But the key here is probably the treatment and to have a good portal, so a good visualization of the ligament.
And Roger, from your point of view, you have some tricks to add?
Well, first of all, I totally agree. You have to be able to do the basic arthroscopy well. And if you make your portals a little bit off, then it's very difficult to get into posterolateral gutter, and then it's very difficult to do your surgery. So I definitely agree with that. I use a slightly different portal than most people. So what I do is my patient is in lateral decubitus. I palpate the lateral tip of the olecranon, which is not the actual tip that goes into the olecranon fossa, but is the lateral superficial tip, so to say. And that's where my posterolateral portal is. So it's right at the tip. I then incise, go onto the lateral column, and then I go in with my blade, I go into the olecranon fossa. And then put my trocar in, of course, with my cannula. Put the camera in, and then the first view I want is not the olecranon fossa, because there's always some tissue there, especially in trauma. There's a lot of blood and there's a lot of tissue, but I direct my camera immediately, because the medial gutter is always visible. So just underneath the ulnar nerve, you can always see the medial gutter, and then you see the corner of the humerus and the corner of the olecranon. Then when you pull back your scope, this takes 5 seconds. Eh? You pull back your scope, you follow it to the tip of the olecranon, turn your view upwards into the olecranon fossa, see if there's no loose body, see, you can rinse there if you want. And if you're happy, you don't need to work there. If you need to work there, I make obviously a central posterior portal through the triceps, or in athletes, a posterolateral proximal portal. But let's say it's a simple, normal procedure. Clean it there if you need to. Then go back to the tip. If you've lost the tip of the olecranon, because that can happen with swelling, go back to the medial side, find that corner again, follow the tip, follow it all the way to the lateral side. And then it's important to point your camera quite far down. So what a lot of my registrars do when I see them, they keep their cannula in 45 degree angle, diagonal. But because of we make the portal so distal, it's actually almost straight down towards the radial head. And then you fall in. You don't have to push, you just simply fall in. Then rotate again. Like you said, clean that fold through your through your soft spot portal that I use a needle to create a soft spot portal so I know exactly where I am. Clean it. Like O'Driscoll says, enter the room and create a view. Open the curtains because otherwise you don't see anything. And then once you have your view, then you start working. So I think you described that perfectly. I'm impressed with your study, and like I said earlier, I'm very happy that someone took all the time and the effort to study this for us, because that's extremely important. Otherwise, we will never catch up with the shoulder guys, and that's obviously our ultimate goal. And then the knee. After we catch the shoulder, we go for the knee.
Okay, many thanks, guys. This was a good session, and many thanks, Alfonso, for this great paper you've given us on this important topic. And Roger, many thanks for being our SESEC expert today. So this was the SESEC podcast, arthroscopic evaluation of LUCL stability after selective release and repair of the lateral collateral ulnar ligament, with the first author Alfonso Vaquero Picado from Madrid in Spain and Roger van Riet from the AZ Monica in Antwerp in Belgium. My name is Robert Hudek. I'm a shoulder and elbow surgeon from Hamburg in Germany. Many thanks.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.